Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Y'all just remember me. Say, can we pray while you preach? You need to pray while I'm preaching today. You pray and I'll be able to preach. And it's been a real uphill battle. And I ain't made it to the top yet. And I remember this week, those of y'all remember a little bit what I mentioned here a couple of weeks or so ago. Amen. Well, we got to go to court on Wednesday. And so just remember in your prayers that we're looking forward to the truth. Amen. Coming out so that so we can be done with this whole thing. And then we can move on to whatever the next step is we need to do. Amen. And it's just been a real long and hard. And you know, things come against us. Satan don't wait for us to be at our best before he hits us, you know. He's one of them ones that like kick you when you're down, you know. And you think, well, if I could just get well over this thing before he hits me with the next thing, you know. But it don't work that way. And I learned, been here, well, it's been over 17 years now, pastoring. And I remember within the first couple of years, started going through some battles and things that I was facing and had to take care of. And I thought, boy, this is tough. And that's probably been about 15 some years ago. And I'd take tough back then over what's tough now, I can tell you. But you grow, don't you? You grow. Everything you go through, every trial you face, everything, you grow. And that's what we're supposed to be doing, is growing. When we ought to be wondering is when we ain't growing. When we still kick up the same baby fuss every time over the same stuff. Then we ain't growing. That's when we ought to be wondering, hold on now. We're supposed to be growing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful to be here, Lord, in your house. Lord, I know, Lord, that I, other than a gift that you've placed in me, Lord, I have no ability, Lord. I can't even, as a prophet, Lord, this gift's not even mine to use, Lord. Lord, it's for you to use and the people to pull on. I pray, Lord, this morning, may you help me, Lord, just to yield to where you'll be a help to the people, Lord. And Lord, help me to get out of the way, Lord, and so that you can help them, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. You may be seated. I want to, Lord willing, I'd like to just, as much as I can, take up from where I left off. I probably be doing a little backtracking here. We were preaching about the Holy Ghost before I left to go on a trip. And read this scripture because while I was in my years of growing and trying to, to learn what the Holy Ghost was for myself. And searching for it and wondering, did I have it? How do I know if I get it, when I got it? And there had been so many different things that I had been told throughout my life or heard throughout my life from many different sources. And you begin to try to sort through all that and try to make sense of it. And one of the things that was my misconception was that getting the Holy Ghost doesn't make you perfect. It is for the perfecting. It's going to bring you. He's the inner teacher. It'll bring you. It's bringing us there. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, it's not like magic. It's not like somebody waving a wand over you and instantaneously you're perfect. Instantaneously you're without fault. No, there's only one, and that's why I read this script. There was only one that went through all the temptations known to man without sin. And there's only ever going to be one. There only was one that was able to do it, and there's only ever going to be one. Now, I know that he came down to become us so we might become him. But I'm going to tell you something. Friends, listen. Jesus Christ was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God poured himself down into Christ. You say, well, Christ poured himself down into the bride. But look at the types of the scripture. What was the skin that was between the holiest of holies and the second court there? What was the skin that was there? Badger skin. Now, have you ever heard of somebody going to a fur shop somewhere and buying a badger coat? Badgers are stinky animals, and they're mean, and they're cantankerous, and they're hard to get along with. Is any of this starting to sound familiar? Brother Branham said that before God could give you the Holy Spirit, he had to give you a new spirit. He said, because you couldn't even get along with yourself. That's right. Couldn't even get along. It reminds me, and I know this ain't no place to tell jokes, but it reminds me of that little story that Brother Horner had told me. Brother Horner said, now he's going to blame it on me. About a man that was on an island, and he had three huts there. And I'm just going to cut this short. But one of the huts was his house. One of them was his church, and they asked him, said, what's that third one? He said, that's where I used to go to church. And he was the only one there. So he couldn't even get along with himself. You know, and that's the way we are. Before we come and God gets a hold of our lives. But even with receiving the Holy Ghost, you are not. If you think, well, once I got the Holy Ghost, then I'm going to live without sin. That's why you're going to be stumbling around wondering whether you got it or not. Because you are not going to be able to live without sin. Because this isn't the millennium. This is Satan's Eden. This is his world. After the fall, it's knocked everything out of the divine order that God had it in. The Bible said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. He said, if we say we sin not, we made him a liar and his word's not in us. What is sin? Sin is unbelief. All these other things that people call sin, Brother Branham said, was just the attributes of sin. But sin itself is unbelief. We've all had times where we've had to struggle with doubt. Why, when we hear something preached, why is it that it doesn't seem like to have immediate effect or take a hold on us or us go right along? Because sometimes we don't believe it. Sometimes we don't really yet believe it. We have our doubts. And you know what? Many times we sit and we wonder now, is that really the truth? Is that really God, or is that just that brother saying that? And you know what? Ain't nobody, if you ever think that, ain't nobody can blame you for it. Because how many years have you sat and heard what some man had to say and turned out that it was just what that man had to say? Some of y'all know Brother Homer Longoria. He told me one time, I won't tell you where he got it from. Some of y'all can figure it out yourself. But a couple of people had told him that Brother Branham had preached against drinking Coca-Cola. Two brothers told him this. And so he believed them. And he said, now, brother, we didn't have no quote book back then put together. He said, there wasn't no computers to go look nothing up on, you know. He said, some brother you respected told you, Brother Branham said this or that, why, you just took it. And he said they told him, said it was wrong to drink Coca-Cola. So he went and preached that. He went and preached that. And he told me, he said, when it finally got to where he could get a hold of, find out whether Brother Branham ever said it or not, and he found out Brother Branham never said it, he said, I said, Homer, ain't one thing but you to go do is go unpreach what you preached. Now, there was times when the men have been through, and that's where that came from, is there's times we've had men just tell us things, supposed to be preachers, tell us things, and we believed them, and it turned out it wasn't nothing to it but just a bunch of hot air. So it ain't no wonder sometimes when we hear something, maybe we ain't quite heard it that way before, we kind of put on the brakes. Ain't no wonder. But I can tell you this, from my own experience, I've heard plenty too. And I'm glad to be free today. I'm glad to be free from man. I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad I can go look up and see what the prophets had to say. I'm glad I can. Somebody says, well, Brother Branham said that, Tommy said, Brother Branham said the man that had a beard had a lust spirit on him. I've looked that up in every which way you can possibly dream to look it up. He never said no such thing. They said, Brother Branham said, a man that had a mustache had something to hide. If you ever find that anywhere in the message, you come and show it to me. Because I got a computer at home and one in my back office back here, and them computers say he never said that. You know. But there's things like that somebody will say, well, and you know, it used to be more so than now, well, they knew Brother Branham, or they fellowshiped with Brother Branham. Just because they had shook hands with Brother Branham, everything they said, you just believed them. I know Brother Martin and Brother Horner, they've been right there, and they've shook hands with some of them men that shook hands with Brother Branham. They may have shook hands with Brother Branham themselves. But I'm glad to be free of that. I'm glad that I, friends, look, somebody said, are you following a man? Well, you know what? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I believe it that way. I believe it that way. And I'll just tell you something right now. I might as well get it out. If it offends somebody, it offends you. If not, if don't, then good. But if it offends you, well, I'm just sorry. But that picture that's hanging out there in the vestibule, that big picture that's a print of the painting that Brother Biscoe's daughter had done, we never bought that thing. I never hung that out there. I bought one. I bought a small one that I'd planned when I got my office done. I was going to hang in there. But somebody else brought that and gave it to the church and they hung it out there. And I'll tell you what, it's bothered me because for a long time we didn't even have Hoffman Head of Christ hanging out there. And that bothered me a bit. So I think people come in and say, well, where's Jesus? Now, do I follow the teachings of Brother Branham the way that we'd follow the teachings of Paul? Yes, I do. Do I believe Brother Branham was the end time prophet for this age? Yes, I do. Do I believe that God through him opened the seals? Yeah, I do. I believe in giving the prophet place, and I know that without the sacrifices and things he made and God speaking through him, what would we have today? Just like as if Paul, without Paul, what would we have today? Without men like John Wesley, what would we have today? Gutenberg, I think, was one that first got a Bible in print, wasn't it? What would we have without men like that today? See, God's moved on men, and those men make sacrifices in their own lives to make the gospel go forward. And I thank God for all of them. And I, like I said, I believe he is end time prophet, but I think I would rather have a big picture of Jesus Christ out there with his hand out to the rich young ruler or knocking on the door or at the Last Supper. I think I'd rather have that out there where people come in and put that one there in the fellowship hall or something. Now, that's just me. I don't mean to offend anybody. If anybody's got any questions about how I feel about Brother Branham believing him, well, you can just come and ask me. I don't think that we would have any disagreement or have any problem. I was visiting some of my relatives, and they asked me, said, one of the things that bothered them over the years ago, said they come in our house and said there was more pictures of Brother Branham hanging up in my parents' house than what there was of Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you what, back then in the 70s, people had pictures of Brother Branham hanging up everywhere, all throughout their whole house. They had eagles hanging on their wall. They had eagles mounted on the fronts of their cars. They had, you know, my father-in-law took, but this was in the 80s, my father-in-law took and painted an eagle on the hood of his LTD. You know. And I've seen eagles wired to the grills of cars, you know. I'm not condemning that, but why you reckon we don't see none of that no more? Because people got more involved in what the man preached than the man himself. I believe God had to take Brother Branham off the scene, because if he hadn't, everybody been too involved in watching him and then they would be in seeing the mystery of Christ unfolding in this day. Brother Branham said, if I'm that one, he said, it spoke and said that as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall you forerun my second coming. He said, if I'm that one, then he said, like John, He said, I have to decrease and he'll increase. Amen. And that's what I believe. Amen. And I ain't looking, I'm not looking for him, Brother Bram, to come back, that he's got to restore something, or that Brother Bram's got to do something that was left undone, because the Bible don't say that. It said that when that seventh angel began to sound, that the mystery of God would be finished. And I don't think God leaves anything unfinished. Somebody asked me one time, said, do you believe Brother Branham's coming back? And I said, I sure do. They said, you do? And I said, I sure do. The Bible said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. So that's what I believe. Amen. But I'll tell you what, them sitting around with an old rusted out airplane and an old moth-eaten tent, they ain't going to see him, because they're looking for the wrong thing. Now that is following a man. Because they're not, to me, folks like that has got to, look, I ain't got nothing against anybody going to Jeffersonville. You want to go up there and visit? Go on up there and visit. I've been there one time in my whole life. Went there, my mom and dad went to get baptized back in the late 60s. That's the only time I ever been there. That don't make me holy because I ain't been there since. But I ain't never had no reason to want to go back. But I'm not going to go up there every Easter and gather around that grave. So I'm going to tell you something, friends. To me, that ain't no different than the Muhammads. Ain't no different than them. It's got the white horse sitting over Muhammad's grave waiting for Muhammad to come up, and he's going to ride again. You know. It's like there was some people down in South Carolina was believing that Brother Branham's going to do what he said, I'll ride this trail again. So you know what they did in the church? They took and they bought up a bunch of horses and said everybody had to learn how to ride. It is. But you know why all that stuff is around? To blind the eyes of the people that it isn't for. People that it's not for, it just blinds their eyes. Hallelujah. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. I had folks tell me, say, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is receiving the message for your day. Brother Bram says that. It's a direct quote. And I believe that, but I don't believe going around saying, I believe the message is your evidence that you got the Holy Ghost. Because there's a lot of folks that go around claiming to believe the message. I've had folks that, there's folks that live right here in this town, won't get out and go to church nowhere and say they believe this message. They don't believe the message I believe. Because Brother Branham said, you need to have a church. You need to have a home church where you go and support it with your tithes, your offerings, and your presents. Amen. And I believe that you need to go where God sends you. I believe you need to go where you can get helped. I've told individuals that's come here over the years, they come and tell me, said, God sent me here. I said, well, if he did, then praise the Lord. If he did, you'll get helped here and you'll be helped here. You'll be able to help others. But if he didn't send you, you won't get no help, you won't be no help, and we don't need you. And sometimes it proves out God wasn't the one that sent them. They were just running from something else they had disagreed with somewhere else. You know, the Bible says that Abraham stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief. It said he was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded. This is in Romans 4. Being fully persuaded that he had what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's a divine commentary, Brother Branham called it, of Abraham. With the record of Abraham in the Old Testament, Abraham lied, said, she's not my wife, she's my sister. So, well, she was his half-sister. Well, a half lie is a whole lie. You can't have half-truth. And if you got half-truth, you got a lie. You know. And Abraham, the same one that said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, he was convinced by Sarah that it wasn't going to be by Sarah, the way God had said, that it was going to be through Hagar, her handmaid, and said, you go in and be with her, Abraham, and said, then when she goes to give birth, she'll give birth upon my knees. Well, think about that. To me, that sounds just as crazy as buying up a bunch of horses to learn how to ride because Brother Branham will ride a trail again. That just don't make no sense. But Abraham did what Sarah said. So what's right about Abraham here? It says he staggered not, but yet we look at things look like he was constantly having to deal with unbelief. He was constantly having to deal with doubt. Why? Because he's human like you and I. And here's the thing, friends. The evidence, I've heard people say the evidence of the Holy Ghost is the life, living the life. And that's true, but it doesn't mean living a perfection of life. Because you're not, there's only one way we're going to be perfect, and that's when we get the body change. Then we'll be perfect. Then we'll be able to come back here to the earth and live 1,000 years without sin. Because the devil will be chained, bound for 1,000 years. Amen. Bound, Brother Ram said, with the chain of circumstance. Then we'll be able to live without sin. But see, the reason many times these doubts come to you whether you got the Holy Ghost or not is because that's Satan, the accuser of the brother. Coming, he tries to point out things to saying, because you know what it is? Somewhere in our mind, we get it to where that if you got the Holy Ghost, you won't do nothing wrong. You won't make no mistakes. You'll just be perfect. Even though if I would ask you right now, you'd say with your mouth the other thing somewhere in the back of your head. Some of you that have these doubts, that's what it is in the back of your head. And you need to realize that. That's just the devil, the accuser of the brethren, coming around trying to, what's he trying to do? Get you to doubt whether you got it or not. But I can tell you this. Once you're sealed with the Holy Ghost, you're sealed with the Holy Ghost. I was at a meeting one time, not a church meeting, but a meeting at a house among some brothers. And they was questioning some things and these brothers told their pastor at that time, told him, said they thought he'd lost the Holy Ghost because he got angry at one of them. And I sat there listening to this, and these men accusing their own pastor, and finally I couldn't take it no more. And I said, brothers, it's impossible for you to lose the Holy Ghost once you got it. And that pastor turned and looked at me, and them brothers turned and looked at me. I think the pastor was like, help me, please. I said, you can't lose the Holy Ghost once you've got it. He says, what about, Brother Bram said, you can grieve the Holy Ghost. Well, the Bible says that, and it also said, don't grieve the Holy Ghost whereby you've been sealed to the day of your redemption. And I said, yes, sure, you can grieve him. He said, well, Brother Bram said, if you grieve him, then the Holy Ghost take his flight. I said he don't leave the building. That's just, you're talking about the flight and the dove and that. I said, that's his presence. You can grieve him and he'll pull his presence back from you. But you can't use the Holy Ghost once you got it. Once you got it, you're sealed. Not, Brother Bram said, not to the next revival. Not to the next camp meeting. Until the day of redemption. He said, once that seal's been placed on that boxcar, said the seal can't be broke until it reaches its destination. We're sealed by the Holy Ghost and power. Will we make mistakes? Sure, we'll make mistakes. Will we stumble? Will we still have to contend with doubt? Yeah, we'll still have to overcome doubt. Will there be things come our way to try to shake our faith? Yes. And I got a surprise for you. God allows them things to come to shake your faith. Why? Sometimes we need to get shook a little bit. I think sometimes we get just a little bit too comfortable. Got to think of that message Brother Branham preached as an eagle stirreth her nest. And how she'd start to take them feathers out and things where she'd padded that nest. And all that was left in there was thorns and briars which held that nest together. Hey, he wasn't comfortable being in a nest any longer. Amen. Them little eagles was ready to go. And I believe that's what's happening to us, friends. I'll tell you, this old nest of the world that we're in, it ain't getting so, it's getting where it's not so comfortable anymore. Amen. Why all the trials, all the on every hand that seemed like is always something against you, on every hand, and I believe that God's allowing that, friends. There's an old song we used to sing, I don't want to get adjusted to this world. And I don't. I'm wanting to get out of here. They told me about these movies. Somebody told me some years ago about some movies called Left Behind. I said, well, I don't have no need to see them. And I said, why are you watching them? I said, I don't care what happens. Because I don't plan on being left behind. Amen. You know, I'm not worried about what are we going to do in the tribulation time. I don't want to be here in tribulation time. Amen. Hallelujah. When God writes your divine commentary, Brother Branham said, when he writes mine, he says, I pray that he'll write mine the way he did Abraham's. He said when he wrote Abraham's divine commentary, said he left out all of Abraham's mistakes. All of Abraham's failures, all of his doubts. He left all that out. And what did he look at? That no matter what came his way, Abraham, friends, listen, he always kept believing that promise of a son was going to come. He didn't know how it was going to come. He might have got misdirected a little bit along the way by his wife and different things, but he always believed the promise of God that son was going to come. And what he had to wait on was what he had to wait on his wife to get that revelation. Amen. And here's something for you, friends. That lie that he told and said that was his sister, not his wife, he did that after he was visited by Jehovah in the plains of Mamre. He did that afterwards. After they had started receiving a body change and being turned back into young again where they could, that promise could be fulfilled, He did that after all this had started happening. Because we know that king looked down there and looked upon Sarah and Brother Branham said, an old grandma, but she was fair. Said, what made him want to marry an old grandma? She had turned back and young again. So that was after, friends. That was after that the promise had already started to work in them. And that happens to us. We're going along good. We think, boy, I really think and believe I got the Holy Ghost this time. I believe I got it. And we're going along great, you know. And then we have one of them moments like Abraham had. And here we go again. Well, maybe I didn't get it after all. I'm telling you these little things from the scripture. What is it? It's just little secrets hidden in there. Abraham, friends, Abraham got afraid for his own skin, and this was after his skin had started changing. Yeah. But that's right, brother. He was still God's prophet. That didn't change it. Remember when the king got that dream, and he said that he would kill him if he touched that man's wife. And had that king gone and said, you go down there and restore that man's wife to him. And then ask him to pray for you. That's the way God sees you. That's the way God sees me. Amen. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Verse before that said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, and to the use of edifying, that it may minister one to another. If any of us ever been guilty of having some communication come out that really wasn't edifying, sure. But that don't mean you've lost the Holy Ghost. What it means is you're going to get corrected. That's what it means. It means you're going to get corrected. I'll tell you something, friends. I got here, and I don't remember how many years ago, but we was kind of going through something with another family and that, and I was trying to help them, and the way things got all twisted around, it come out, and I looked like the bad guy. And I wasn't trying to do no harm at all, you know. And then I had a little bit of a hard time after that not to get bitter. And I had to fight some bitterness over that, the way things turned out. But you know what happened when I had to fight some bitterness? I come and preach some messages on bitterness. Yeah. Every time Satan has hit me with something, the Lord just give me a message to preach on it. Amen. I told my wife, I said, you think Satan would get tired of hitting me by now? Because every time he does, every time he hits me, out comes a message. But that's just because I can't help it. I preach, as I go through things, I'll preach on them. I'll preach on myself. It don't bother me none. I'll get up here, friends, believe you me. You say, are you perfect, Brother Jerry? No, I'm just as human as you are. I'm just as human as you are. I'm apt to mistakes the same as you are. And there's times I need correction from God the same as you do. But see, when I get corrected from God, it's usually a direct whooping. When Sometimes when y'all get corrected, it just comes across the pulpit here. But sometimes mine's one-on-one. You know, when it's one-on-one, you can't hope that somebody look around. Well, maybe they think he's talking about somebody besides me. It's just one-on-one, you know. We have to deal with these things. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. We got to put them things off from us. But just because we've got to fight these things, that just means we're in this flesh. It doesn't mean we ain't still sealed. If we get that, once you're sealed, period. You can grieve the Holy Spirit, and God can lift his presence from you. It's like I told the brother, I said, if you look at it this way, it'd be like his presence as the dove would back off away from you. I said, but you still got the Holy Ghost. I said, your pastor, because he got angry at you. I'll tell you what, I know both of them. He deserved to be angry at him. Brother Branham said, he said, if you don't believe in getting angry, he said, let your spiritual indignation get stirred up. He said, and call black black and white white. That's what he said. He said, by the time God gets something built up, the devil comes around and tries to knock it down. And he was preaching about that, and he said, let your spiritual indignation get raised up against the devil. But I said, your pastor didn't lose the Holy Ghost. You can't. Once you're sealed, you can't lose it. Amen. But be kind one to another. You wouldn't think somebody had the Holy Ghost, you'd have to tell them, now make sure you're kind to each other. But you do. Why? Because we're in this old sticky flesh. Sometimes we are guilty of carrying our feelings on our shoulders, so to speak. We get feelings hurt real easy. You get around a lot of people who's got hurt a lot, and you find they got a shell built up around them trying to protect themselves from being hurt. But we're human, and we can get our feelings hurt. But just because you got your feelings hurt, it doesn't mean that ain't some of it your imagination either. Sometimes we get our feelings hurt thinking somebody thought something. That's the truth. Well, they said this or that. Did you clarify it with them? Tender-hearted. That means compassionate. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Boy, oh boy. There's a good one right there. Forgiving one another. And we're talking about people that are sealed by the Holy Ghost. So when Satan comes around and tells you you're having trouble forgiving somebody, you probably ain't got the Holy Ghost. No. It's something you're going to have to deal with even after you've got the Holy Ghost. We're going through a change. But our change started on the inside, not on the outside. And so you know when sometimes you've got out of line. Sometimes you know what it is? We speak without thinking. That's right. Yes, and then sometimes we think just because a thought went through our head, it needs to come out through our mouth. I tell you what I've done. A thought like I go through my head, I use my wife kind of as my sounding board. But sometimes once it comes out your mouth, it don't sound as good as it did in your head. You know? Sometimes once you say it, it don't make quite as much sense when it comes out as it did when you were thinking it. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I trust this has been a help to you and a black eye to the devil. Amen. So I believe, friends, I believe we're fixing to get out of here. Y'all know what that means, right? Fixing. We're fixing to get out of here. That's right. Last thing you need is to be going around doubting whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. Don't let Satan put them doubts in you. If you ever get a chance, get a hold of, there's a interview. I know they got it on the computer. I don't know if it's ever been put in print or not. But I know they got it on the computer. It's an interview of Sister Bruce that was, Brother Branham interviewed this sister. I've read it to you before. But if you needed it printed out, I can print it out for you because I don't think they got it. I don't know if he spoke to this sister right before he preached the masterpiece. And then he mentions it right in the beginning of preaching the masterpiece about speaking to that someone in the back room, and her name was Sister Bruce. And he spoke to her about, she asked him, said, "Brother, I don't know whether I got the Holy Ghost or not." And Brother Bram spoke to her about it. And it ain't real long. If anybody ever wants it, you just let me know, and I'll get it. I'll have it printed out where everybody can get a hold of it and read it if you want to. And okay, yeah, Brother Todd will get it. We'll print it out and get it online. Then if you want a hard copy, I'll give you one of them too. Amen. It ain't real, real long, but it's a real good little interview Brother Branham has. She was doubting whether she had the Holy Ghost, but she wasn't doubting it once he got done talking to her. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Lord, it was just a little teaching message, Lord, that you'd laid on my heart, Lord, to try to be a help to the people. I pray, Lord God, that it has been that help, Lord. For Lord, what we're here, Lord, to join shoulder to shoulder, stand by one another, Lord, in this battle that we're in, Lord, against the enemy. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just bless each one. I pray you'll bless them today, Lord, as we would leave, Lord. I pray you would bless them, dear God, to where their fellowship and everything would be edifying one to another, Lord, and giving glory to God. We ask your blessings now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a song, "We'll Give the Glory to Jesus." I don't know what page it is. I didn't have no songs picked out for afterwards. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love. It's page, in 78 and you only believe. Start off with seeing the wonders. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love. Of his love. and tell of his love, and tell of his love. We'll give the glory to Jesus, and tell of his wonderful love. Amen. Praise the Lord. You say praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's been good to be in here. Amen. Brother Paul, could you just...